Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. That's our class for this evening. On Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a verse in the series of verses from Canto 1, Chapter 2 that are describing the stages of bhakti, the process of bhakti, and its the stages of unfolding of bhakti, where three of those stages are mentioned. And that's the verse that we're going to be discussing. Some of you know the verse. Those of you that know the verse, we can chant responsively. And those of you that don't, you can listen attentively. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtuki. You guys are good. Let's do it one more time. Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke.
Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtuki. Translation: by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. Why not completely destroyed? And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact or irrevocable fact. So this verse, this text 18, and it resonates or connects with text 16, where the same principle is described. Here's text 16. Shushushroshadadanasya Vasudeva Kata Ruchihi Sian Mahatsevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nishevanat. Translation: oh, twice-born sages, this is Sutta speaking to Shaunaka and the Brahmanas assembled at Naimisharanya. Oh, twice-born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity. Ruchi, for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. So, Shushushro Shadadanasya. Emphasis is on the process of hearing, and hearing with discrimination, hearing from the right source. Sian Mahatsevaya Vipra. By rendering service to the Mahats, or great devotees. Sian Mahatsevaya Vipra. That's the action, and the consequence of that action is great eagerness for hearing the message of the Personality of Godhead. So what I'm going to do is read a little bit from Prabhupada's purports for these verses and share a little bit what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has to say about it also. According to the teachings of Rupa Goswami, and we're Rupanugas, we're followers of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami has taught that the process of bhakti has 9 stages. It starts with adau shadha. In the beginning, there's a little faith, or even preliminary faith. And by gradual evolution of the stages, it opens up to the stage of prema. From Shraddha to Prema, that's 2. There's 7 stages in between. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is a Rupanuga, but he's taken the liberty of a great Acharya, the great Acharya that he is, and he's expanded that list. Like, for example, Jiva Goswami does the same thing when, according to the scriptures quoted by our acharyas, there are 3 means of knowing something. And the Sanskrit word is pramana. And there's a nice 50-cent word in English. It's called epistemology. Epistemology. Pramana. It's the means of knowing something. If you want to know, like Jiva Goswami says, I want to talk about Krishna. But before talking about Krishna, which should be established, what's the best means of knowing that subject which we want to talk about? And so he enters into the Pramana Kanda portion of his Sandarbhas, the Tattva Sandarbha. And he takes that list of 3 and he makes it a list of 10, because there are subsets of those 3. And it's not pride, it's just being more thorough than the 3 categories which have subcategories. I'll give another example. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that there are bina prakritir ashtada. They're 8 separated material energies. Prakriti, ashtada. 8. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. That comprises the material energy. That's Krishna speaking. In the 3rd canto of Bhagavatam, one of Krishna's incarnations, he establishes there's 24 elements. And the 8 that are in Krishna's system are there in Kapila Dev's system, and 24 minus 8, it's 16 more. Hey, what's going on? Is it 8 or is it 24? And the answer is they're both right. If you look at the system, from the 5 gross elements, there's another 3 sets of 5. From the 5 gross elements manifest the object of the senses, tanmatra, and then the senses that are perceiving those objects, and 5 working senses. Karmendriyas and Gyanendriyas. They're made of matter, but behind those elements of matter, there's subtle capacity to hear, etc., and so on. So, and then there's the 16th, that's 5 and 5 and 5. Then there's another one in the 24, and that's Cheta. And that's sometimes translated as the sum total of all elements, kind of like the big warehouse that stores everything. It's translated otherwise in other places, but contaminated consciousness sometimes is translated. So both systems are fine. 8:24. So Rupa Goswami has given us 9 stages of bhakti. Taking those same stages, exactly using these verses of the Bhagavatam, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, great Acharya, follower of Rupa Goswami, has given us 18. It's just a further delineation, and I'll show you as I explain this. So in this Shushushro Shraddhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahatsevaya Vipra Punya Tirta Nashevanat, he, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, says that 3 parts of bhakti are established. The first one is Mahat Seva. Actually, the first is receiving the mercy of a Vaishnava. Satam Kripa. One gets the mercy of a devotee. And through the mercy of the devotee, second, Mahat Seva. One gets a chance to serve that merciful devotee. And the third thing is, through that association and service with the devotee, some faith. That doesn't mean there's no faith prior to that. Krishna speaks about that in Bhagavad Gita, in the Divisions of Faith chapter. Arjuna asks Krishna, if people don't have faith in your words, don't they have faith in something? Something else, but something? And the answer is yes. According to the modes of nature, there's divisions of faith, mode in passion, ignorance, and goodness. Then there's transcendental faith. So this faith is the transcendental faith in Krishna. In a preliminary stage. So there's 3 embedded within this verse, because Punya Tirtha, Tirtha we know is a place of pilgrimage. But another meaning is a devotee. Just like we find in the Bhagavatam that Yudhisthira speaks to Vidura and says that devotees of your caliber, you are a moving tirtha. You are yourself a place of pilgrimage, a perambulatory tirtha. Because tirtha is one that purifies. So the place of pilgrimage purifies, and the devotee also purifies. Punya tirtha. Nishevanat, having no material contact, no material attraction. So, association with a devotee, awakening, getting the chance to have some service, and to the devotee, mahatsevaya, and awakening of faith. Shraddhanasya. Through hearing from that devotee, some faith in Krishna, in the transcendental subject matter, awakens. Then, in text 17 of the second chapter, Shrinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. You know this verse. Vidyantaksto Yabhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrit Satam. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. So Krishna becomes very merciful. Not exactly a janitor, but the heart that's impure, Krishna cleanses. One of our guests here this weekend asked a question after the morning class, so I'm going to expand on that a little bit. What is it about reading, because we were speaking about Srimad Bhagavatam, reading or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, what is it about this hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam that frees one from past karmas? How does it work? So I gave the example of light switch. When you turn the light switch, when the light comes on, darkness is dispelled. But here's another. Our past material involvement, our past karma, karma is two ways, two-edged, like a sword that has two edges. There's the action, and there's the reaction for that action. And that reaction is stored. The impression of the action is stored, and it sits in a dormant state. This is Rupa Goswami's teaching in Nectar of Devotion. It sits as a seed, dormant seed within the heart. And the time energy is just waiting. We spoke this morning about the time energy. Through the movement of time, after some passage of time, that seed begins to fructify. Or sprout. It doesn't come through to present manifestation yet, but within the heart, they're like Prabhupada gives the example of a child. When the child is born, they don't have the sex attraction that happens later. It's there, dormant, and later it comes through the passage of the time energy. So then there's a desire after some time. So what's the desire? It's a reaction to one's past material activity. Particular types of desires are particular to our previous activity, or guna and karma. And by contact with the Vasudeva Katha, or Krishna Katha, or Hari Katha, or Bhagavan Katha, when Krishna sees that that person who is hearing Krishna Katha has a desire to serve the Katha personalities, when Krishna sees that, he inspires from within their heart the desire to hear more. And as that desire grows, vidhunoti suhrit satam, Krishna cleanses the desires. That is, it's the same thing as the light goes on and the darkness is dispelled. The desire to serve Krishna is such that by Krishna's manipulation of his own internal potency, the influence of the external potency is diminished. Because the living entity by constitution is marginal. Marginal means we can go this way or we can go that way. The classic example of marginal is where a river meets the riverbank. So on one side is the river, the other side is the riverbank. And then there's this line that's where the river meets the riverbank. That's the marginal. So we're in that marginal position where, by nature, we're servant of Krishna. We can serve Krishna's internal or external potency. When one, by the mercy of a devotee, gets that devotee's association, and by the mercy of that devotee we can render some service, part of which is hearing the messages of Vasudeva Katha from that devotee, some faith awakens. And when that faith awakens, Krishna is now describing, or Sutta Goswami is describing, that from within the heart, as Paramatma, being the controller of the material energy, essentially Krishna says, okay, Maya, step back. And here's my devotee. My devotee has attraction for me, a little attraction for me. So let go. Then, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. In this verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, there are several other steps in the unfolding of the process of bhakti. He uses a term of Rupa Goswami, Guru Padashraya. Very easy to understand the meaning of that. Ashraya means shelter. Pada means feet, and Guru means spiritual master. Guru Padashraya, seeking shelter of the lotus feet of a spiritual master. The Sanskrit Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points to as Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. Tirtha is Guru, Punya Tirtha Nishevanat, taking shelter of a spirit. So, with faith, taking shelter of a spiritual master. And bhajaneshu spriha, their eagerness to hear becomes even stronger. Eagerness to worship the object of the katha, to worship Krishna through the process of kirtan. It starts with shravanam, and then it moves into kirtanam, that which one has heard one speaks or vibrates. With eagerness. And then comes the eradication of impurities. In Rupa Goswami's stages, it's anartha nivritti. We're very familiar with that stage. I mean, we're very familiar with anartas, and we're familiar with the process of trying to rid ourselves of unwanted things. He uses a different term meaning the same thing. Anartha, apagamam, the disappearance of obstacles in his language. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained why it's almost to nil instead of nil. Because anarthas in the anartha nivritti stage are understood according to their origin, where they come from whence they arise. So he says there are four places from whence anarthas arise. One of them is from our past sinful activities. Curiously, another is from our past pious activities. Our past impious activities, that's easy to understand why that's something anartha. But our past pious activities is, as long as there's still an idea to be the enjoyer of the fruits of our pious activities, we become entangled. And that's something that's an obstacle. Being entangled in trying to be the enjoyer of the fruits of your past pious activities. So that tendency can be eradicated, both of them, by the chanting of the holy name. Or by rendering service to Krishna of different kinds. And the other seva aparads, that's the third category, they're eradicated by the chanting of the holy name. But when there's offenses against the holy name, they're very, very difficult. He explains in detail, like super detail, up to the stage of bhava, bhakti, there's trace of impurity, of anartha. It's on the basis of that explanation he presents that Bharat Maharaj was able to fall because there was impurity even up to the bhava stage. And then the Final category is the service itself. But the service itself, that is to say, if we try to become the enjoyers of the service, that can be checked by the power of the holy name, if one chants properly. So really, the chanting of the holy name, that's our program. That's like, you know, the hurdle or the mountain that we have to cross over, is offenses against chanting. Not just chant, but the offenses against chanting. Very carefully, one should avoid that. But so back to nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Prayeshu means almost to nil. Just like there's a verse in the first chapter of the first canto. Prayenav payushak shabya kalabhasvin yugenjana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya kupadrita. And even if you don't know what Sanskrit is, this manda word is really important. Manda means bad. Bad and very bad and super bad. Bad. This age is bad. And the prayena says that good qualities are almost destroyed. Almost. There's a little goodness quality, a little truthfulness, at least the appreciation for truthfulness. Because when people are untruthful, they can do something bad, but if they're truthful about it, you know, it's one thing. And if they lie about it, it's like awful. Just common sensibility. So many examples of that. When our former president, Mr. Clinton, did some bad stuff, people were not just so angry about him, about what he did, but he lied about it. So, anyway, that's modern America. The Bhagavatam is teaching us, Sutta Goswami is teaching us, Vyasadeva is teaching through his writing of the Bhagavatam, that the process of hearing is so strong that especially hearing from the devotees who are pure. And what are those devotees that are pure speaking? They're speaking the message of the Bhagavatam. Therefore, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Abhadra means the inauspicious things in the heart are almost destroyed to nil. Nityam bhagavata sevaya. Very liberally, probably, Prabhupada says, by regular, nityam, regular hearing. A stronger meaning is eternally, always, non-stop. We don't have the capacity, so regularly. And when one does that regularly, one develops such attraction, one wants to do more and more. And more, and just like kirtan, more and more, and japa, more and more, and hearing the Bhagavatam, more and more, and it grows, the attraction grows. And as that attraction grows, almost completely, the abhadras, the inauspicious things within the heart are destroyed. So, anartha, apagamam, disappearance of obstacles. Then, tata, nishtha. Nishtha means steadiness. And guess what's before steadiness? Unsteadiness. You know what unsteadiness is. Unsteadiness. And when, you know, it's the hills and the valleys. Or having strong enthusiasm and then feeling difficulty to take one step. And then taking one step and getting into the association of devotees again and feeling very enthused. Like, you know, one of the common questions that happens at the end of some gathering like this is, How do we sustain this enthusiasm? Just stay here in Gita Nagari. Don't go home. Arrivo. But we have our duties to do. Oh, okay. It's not the fault of the duties. It's the fault of our lack of quality hearing and chanting. Because if we can sustain quality, even it may not be three straight days of hearing and chanting, but quality, nityam bhagavata sevaya, then that enthusiasm will carry. And in addition to directly hearing, there's the other. Bhagavata means in relation to Bhagavan. So there's the book Bhagavata, because the book Bhagavata is describing Krishna. And there's the person Bhagavata in relation to Bhagavan. He's speaking the message, or she, speaking the message of Bhagavan and living the message of Bhagavan. That's the Bhagavata. So it's text 16 and 18, both are speaking about the importance of serving the devotees, mahat sevaya. Here it's nityam bhagavata sevaya, rendering service. And one of the most important services is hearing. So you can be distant and still serve by hearing, because that's service. It's service that awakens all other service. The process of Shravanam Kirtanam awakened up the other seven stages of, or categories of devotional service, starting with hearing and chanting. And that awakened state of Krishna consciousness will, you can take it into the execution of your duties when you return back to wherever you have to go back to. And carry that mood of serving the mahats and serving the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. From all this discussion over this retreat weekend, there are many messages, I'm sure, that you'll hear, and they'll go deeply. They'll particularly resonate. And take those messages and apply them. I'm answering the question ahead of time, so when we do our questions and answers at the end, we won't. I've already answered it. How do we carry this enthusiasm forward? I'm feeling so enlivened. So this is the answer. It's already within the process that Srila Prabhupada has given us. It's just, this is a wonderful opportunity by close association with devotees, wonderful kirtan, beautiful deity worship, fantastic Gita Nagari. The kids are, as long as it's, the weather has cooperated, it hasn't rained today. And let's wait, see what happens tomorrow. And they're very happy. The very memorable experience for the children that come. Not just, you know, the activities they do with one another, but being in the company of the devotees and the kirtan and the deity and the artis and the spiritual saturation. It's and milking the cows. They love milking the cows. One of the highlights for all the kids is milking the cows. So, in the proper sangha, that benefit will automatically come to you. I'd like to read a little bit some of Prabhupada's statements from his purport. First, on this text 17, Prabhupada writes, "We have already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord." Paragraph. "The Lord reciprocally is respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord, and thus has become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to Him. That is, He removes the obstacles. Please come to Me. One cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desires. To lord it over material nature, it is very difficult to get rid of such desires. But when one is helped by the Lord Himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. If one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances. And gradually, all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. You know, things can still be going on out there, but the mind is something that troubles us. The enemy is within, as it said, and it is me, or my mind. But saturating oneself with the process of hearing and chanting in the right mood, from the right source, and doing so regularly has this Krishna factor coming into our lives that lifts us up, removes the obstacles, cleanses the heart, relieves us of that daivyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyayayayayayayay. Very difficult. Mamevekapadyante mayamitam tarantite. Then when Krishna is, with this verse is describing, there's two things in this nishtha, because the nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloki bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Naishtaki has this word nishtha as its root. Now, nishtha means steady. So the unsteady becomes steady when the impurities are removed. The impurities are removed and we have Krishna helping us, because his energy is under his control. Not just we're weak, but he's in the control of his energy. And he can say, okay, Maya, take a hike. Leave this nice devotee. He or she is under my care. Then Maya can't touch. And we're protected. And one who feels protected and sheltered by Krishna, such a nice feeling. And not feeling protected and sheltered by Krishna, ooh, very dangerous, very fearful. Human reason fails to understand how, by serving the devotee Bhagavata or the book Bhagavata, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. Prabhupada then describes Narada Muni's experience from hearing from the Bhakti Vedantas and in their association. His insignificant position became elevated to the topmost perfection. He's just a little boy. He didn't do any big special thing. He just heard and served and took the remnants of their prasad. And his faith grew, and his realizations grew, and his practices became fixed and steady, even after they left. And he continued throughout his life, and he achieved such an elevated position through faithful execution of that which was given to him. As an example of this is how it was, again, Prabhupada says it. It defies ordinary reason. Logic and reason and mundane intellect can't sort this one out, because it's the internal potency acting. It's Krishna acting through the agency of his associates, his Bhaktivedantas or his Bhagavatas, persons in relation to him. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavatas, the more one becomes fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The messages of the book Bhagavata, therefore, have to be received from the devotee Bhagavata, and the combination of these two Bhagavatas will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. So our theme for the retreat is this wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam giving light into this dark age of Kali. It's our shelter, it's our refuge, it's our position of safety. And these verses that I, just a few, there's more than that series, they're describing from the Bhagavatam how it works. And one who takes it up faithfully finds it works. It's not some blind sentiment. It's very practical. I'm reminded of one Bhakti Vriksha program. Well, some of you will remember because you were from that Bhakti Vriksha group. In the beginning, I was visiting, so they started with the usual. It's called the icebreaker. So, like, to get everybody into the mood of, you know, okay, the week's over and all the torture of, the duties of material life. It's Friday night and it's okay. Who'd like to share some realization? It's called an icebreaker. So one person right away put up his hand and said, he was a talker. So he said, I really like this. My realization is I've benefited so much from the association of devotees in discussing these topics. From the time I was a young boy, I read Bhagavad Gita so many times, and quite honestly, I never understood anything. And, you know, I came over here and got a job and started working. I thought, oh, maybe I should also take a Bhagavad Gita study group thing. It's pious to do. I probably won't understand anything again, but I'll do it. And I, you know, came into the association of devotees, and things become so clear. Things become so clear. And then, not only things become clear, but I think I'm becoming a better person. I have an anger problem. Not really bad, like, you know, out of control, but, you know, a little anger problem. And sometimes at work, you know, people do things that would really make me angry. Now I'm finding I just, like, don't get angry. I'm thinking, wow, what's happening here? And I attribute it to hearing and discussing in the association of the devotees. I really like this Bhakti Vriksha group. That was my realization for the week. That was very nice. And someone else was similarly sharing. You know, I've read so many. But when I started reading Prabhupada's, they had read, somehow the first book they got was First Canto Bhagavatam. And everything was so clear. Everything was so, that was my experience. I read 7 translations of Bhagavad Gita before I got Prabhupada's. And I couldn't understand anything. Nor could the persons who were writing it understand it. At least they couldn't understand Bhagavad Gita. And when I started reading Bhagavad Gita, it was very clear. I think, what's going on? How come it's so clear? Because it's written from realization. It's written from devotion. It's written from the heart. It's disclosing Krishna. That's what Bhagavad Gita is, and Prabhupada's purports were similarly doing that. It's that Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, that's the book and the person. So we have such great fortune to have the Bhaktivedanta purports. Devotees who have not had Srila Prabhupada's association physically are getting his association vibrationally. And to this day, I just 2 days ago, I met a family before they had any association with devotees. They had read Prabhupada's books, and they were just reading Prabhupada's books, and they got up to the point of chanting 16 rounds, and they had read the whole of the Bhagavatam before they visited a temple. And their whole family is now chanting 16 rounds, their whole family, mother, father, and two kids. The daughter's less than 16. But, you know, they're fixed. And they're together as a family. They regularly read Srimad Bhagavatam. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And they're really nice. Besides, their qualities are really nice. They're fixed in the goal. And they know how to go the rest of the way because they have this Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. So hearing alone is service. So those of you, some of you live in remote places. We wish you lived closer, but if you live in remote places, then continue to hear. And by that process of hearing, you're getting association. Bhagavad Katha. You're getting association with Krishna and rendering service. And Krishna, seeing that within your heart, will cleanse your heart and your life will change. It's sublime. And it works. Consistently. Just apply yourself. You're all doing it. By applying oneself properly, the path back to Godhead is opened. And the obstacles on the path are removed. And this loving attraction for Krishna becomes fixed. These two things, the kleshagni and shubhada, in Rupa Goswami's language, the obstacles are removed, the impure things of the heart are eradicated, and auspiciousness begins. It's awakened. So simple and so sublime. Hare Krishna. So I'll end there and see if there's any discussion. Donna Kelly, you got a trick question again?
We're hearing that the process of Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya almost completely destroys the anarthas in the heart. But that the anarthas that are due to Nama Parai will linger even through the stage of Bhava. So my question is, how are those, if one is no longer committing Nama Parai, but still has anarthas in their heart from past Nama Parai, how are those anarthas annihilated?
Krishna. Krishna does it. Krishna, well, to the rescue.
Is it just a waiting game then?
Huh?
Is it just a waiting game then?
No, it's not a waiting game. We just have to become free from offenses and at once. At once, there's no delay. At once. The waiting game is our, you know, our laziness, our complacency. When are we going to become not complacent, not, you know, be properly attentive, bring our attention to Krishna and take shelter of paying attention to Krishna when we're chanting Krishna's name? That's the delay. But when we do that, at once.
So then if anarthas due to non-aparad are still there, then we can't say that from past aparads, we have to say that from present aparads, because as soon as we stop committing aparads, it's supposed to be that Krishna takes away the anarthas from past aparads.
The last part of your question I couldn't get, but
let's say somebody's not performing non-aparad anymore.
Then they're beyond that position. They're no longer in that position. There's residual tendency. the blades of the fan spinning, like Bharat Maharaj. He was, his attention had gone completely to the personality of Godhead. He would experience the presence of the personality of Godhead in ecstasy. But he deliberately, consciously rationalized, it's okay if I turn my back on Krishna and walk. That tendency is intrinsic to the soul, but that tendency is checked by Krishna's prompt, by Krishna's kind. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. He was saying no to Krishna's indication, even though he was in a previously elevated position. So, like Prabhupada described, what to speak of the question that you're asking, even in the when returning to the kingdom of God in Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha, the living entity is still marginal potency. That means the capacity to choose between Krishna and not Krishna is there. The capacity is there. But we don't misuse that independence. And Krishna helps us. He gives his promise. He'll help us. Right in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives his promise. So, what to speak of the position you're speaking of, that one. But it's the singular commitment unto Krishna, full shelter in Krishna. When that condition of offenseless chanting is achieved, the reactions of one's previous nam aparads are eliminated. Isn't that good news? Okay.
Maharaj, I had a similar question regarding the point of the offenses lingering in the non-aparad. I was wondering, we know that there are three stages of chanting, non-aparad, namabhas, and Jhuranam. And my question is regarding, is this referring to an attitude? Because we know that in Namabhas, aparads are being performed but not with a malicious attitude. And therefore, I've heard like this is in terms of the aura.
Well, let's just take inattentiveness. There can be inattentive with an attitude, or there can be inattentive without an attitude. But inattentive is an offense, whether it's with or without an attitude.
So when does it qualify as a non-aparad, and when does it qualify as a non-vas? If someone is committing aparad in the clearing stage, what does that mean?
That's namavas. It means they're trying and they're not there yet. And aparad is, I'm not even trying. It's like, you know.
So then it's a mentality. I guess that's a clarification I'm looking for. The mentality in namavas is I'm trying. Or is
yeah. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and then a further clarification. In Shudanam, we hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita that there are three types of Shudanam chants. One who once utters the holy, pure holy,
yeah.
One who constantly utters it, and the third person who's uttering so purely that when others see they become inspired. So I was kind of confused about what is this. Maybe someone who just, oops, you know. A pure holy name comes out one time and his father's a Vaishnava.
What's that? Well, you know, that isn't what it says. That's a little imaginative.
I was wanting clarification on this point because I've heard this question asked also in a different context. What does it mean he wants to utter some holy name? It's like, because usually the way it's thought of is that if I'm able to chant the holy, pure holy name, I'm able to
your question is like 301 and we're doing 101 over here. I don't mind answering your question, but I don't know if it's so relevant to everyone here. But yeah, quickly, one who even wants, it's just like, you know, the barber. Or some person that just accidentally. That's like very liberal explanation of Krishna's indebtedness to someone who even utters his name once. It's not one who whoops, there goes a pure holy name.
I'm sorry, Mark, for describing, like, describing how it was going on in my mind.
Okay. Okay. But the topmost is the personalities like Lord Nityananda and his associates as they were traveling about, or Lord Chaitanya as he was traveling on a South India tour, specifically describes people that would see him. Just by seeing him, they would start chanting Hare Krishna. Just by seeing him. And then he'd go and embrace them. And they would be infused with transcendental love of God. They'd go mad. And travel with him and chant with him, and he'd send them back to their village. And they're in a mad state, they go back to their village. And, you know, multi-level marketing. Make everyone else mad, lovers of Krishna, chanting his holy name. That's on the topmost stage. And then there's the in-between stage, you know, somewhere in between, big in between.
One last clarification. I thought it was still part of the 101 aspect.
Okay.
Because I was wondering, in terms of the mentality, is it like someone can have a proper attitude at a certain moment in eternal time where a pure holy name can come out? That was why I was making a comparison to the
Anonymous. Okay. Anything else?
Hare Krishna. In this verse, the word almost is used, why not completely? So how to understand the use of this word in connection with free will? There is a relationship with free will to understand this. Free will.
Is there a connection with free will versus almost completely?
How to understand the connection between free will and almost completely eradicated? Two things. Hesitation. You know what the term hedging means, right? Hedging. Something, but not completely. A lot of something, but not completely. And then the other is, this question that Dhanakali Mataji was asking is, there are still desires. Many desires are cleansed, but there's still some other desires. And we're clinging to those other desires, some of them, because they're very dear to us. Material desires that are very dear to us. You know, and everybody's got their own little variety. They carry it around with them, a little bag, their desires. You know what I mean. So, almost. And so free will is, it's directly proportionate. Does that help? This is describing a stage. Keep going. And as long as one does keep going and brings the free will to that, like 80%. There's a verse, there's a lecture that Prabhupada gave, I believe, in Hawaii. He was describing the nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavat, the nishta, he said 75%. He said it twice. Let's say 75%. Then he said again, 75%. So that's like, it's these two things, the residual desires and attachments, 25% I'm holding on to, and there's some, you know, impurity. And the free will side is 75%, but 25% I'm still holding on to this other stuff. It's very dear to me. Okay? Way back. Whew, made it.
Thank you very much. I want to put this class. And I have a particular example to clarify.
Hold the microphone closer, thank you. The personal example is what?
Not free will.
Indra.
Right. But I understood this, that one should surrender to the instruction of his little master, as well as he has to tolerate the reactions of the offenses.
Who did?
Me.
You? You're not Indra. I missed something. Well, the hurdles?
Yeah, obstacles.
Obstacles.
Basically hold me back.
What are the obstacles that hold you back?
Yeah.
We'll talk about it later. You really want to know, we'll talk about it later. But it's in the category of the 25%. It's even more than 25% because nishta means beyond anishtata. It's where most of the anartas in the heart are completely eradicated. The problem with Indra, and the problem, you're not Indra, but the problem with each of us that isn't at the nishta stage, we're attached to our little collection of anartas. And, you know, we're so attached to them, sometimes we don't even know what they are. Sometimes we know what they are. And we hold them up and check them out a little bit. And put them back in our little anartha bag. I'm trying, Maharaj. I'm really trying. At least once a year I look at them. And some of them we don't even know. And those are ones that, like, everybody else knows except for us. And people are afraid to tell us because, you know, we'll, like, lose it or something. It's attachment to, it's very simple, it's attachment to our own impurity. While there may be a strong attachment to Guru and Krishna, there may be at the same time a strong attachment to our impurity. And it may be some other kind of, like, stuck because of some awful experience that makes it difficult for us to take a close look at that thing that we're stuck with. Something. And so we don't want to go there, and others don't want to take us there because, you know, we're sensitive about it, so they don't want to take us there. So we just kind of, like, wait for the process of devotional service to do its job. But it takes a lot of trust in Krishna, in the process of devotional service, and others who are, you know, surgeons, and they can cut out some of that attachment. At least point it out and say, you know, don't just hide it or hold it once a year. Spend time and work on that. And I'll help you and I'll support you, but, you know, work on that. Okay? Here's last question. I was describing the hills and valleys that we many times experience. Why is it that we still experience ups and downs even after we've constantly chosen to turn to Krishna and away from our material attachments? Is it because we have not fully taken shelter of the Lord? Yes. What does it mean to have complete shelter of Krishna? Complete shelter of Krishna is where we don't have other shelters. And we maintain our share of other shelters. That's this hedging thing. So much for Krishna, but just in case Krishna doesn't pay attention, he forgets me. because I'm so insignificant, I have to invest a little bit over here and a little bit over there, a little over there. Just in case. There's my other shelters. It's not full faith in Krishna. That's what it means. But full faith in Krishna means full faith in Krishna. And not in whatever the, you know, I can take full shelter of Krishna provided that this, and this, and this are in place. At least a good number of those things. That's our conditions for surrender to Krishna. And then there's unconditional surrender to Krishna. Doesn't matter. So if we say unconditionally, Krishna, I surrender unto you, Krishna may test us. They say, oh yes? Okay, what about some hardship? What about some obstacle? What about some sense gratification? What about something other than my shelter? And when that strength of taking exclusive shelter in Krishna is our full determination, Krishna will help us. He removes the obstacles. He removes the impurities from our heart and carries us to that position. That's the process of bhakti. Whoa. Hare Krishna. She always has very good questions. How can we become free from offenses? That's the question? By associating with those who are free from offenses. Let me ask you a question. If it's very cold, what do? Go stand next to something that's warm. By associating with warmth, you become warm. Go stand near a fire. They had a little fire over here, campfire. Yes? Did the children have a campfire?
Yes, ma'am.
You stand near the fire, you get warm. You stand near the fan, you get cool. By association. And when you take association, what? Because I know you. You want to please that person that you're taking association from, right? So when you try to please those who are free from offenses, that carries you to the other side of offenses. That's how it works. Just like, we'll take this one that we've been speaking a little bit about, inattention. You know, attention and inattention. Attention is like, I'm paying attention to you right now. And you're a very attentive listener, so that's attention. But supposing it's one of these. That's not attention. I'm somewhere else. So when we're chanting, we should strive to be attentive. And the strength to be attentive comes from hearing the words from the Bhagavatam and Rupa Goswami and our acharyas that teach us to be attentive. And because you want to please them, you try to be extra attentive when chanting. And that overcomes the offense. Your question was how to become free from offenses. By association and trying to please those elevated souls who are giving you really good example and really good teaching, you want to please them. It's love. Loving service can carry you to the other side of offenses. What do you think? That's a nice way of life, isn't it? You'll get there. I'm sure of it. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.